The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
It's time once again to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases, like a Spaniard on a tightrope. Here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cotolo.
For exactly 1 hour till 10 after 5, and they wake up at 10 after 5, and mysteriously upon awakening everybody in the world finds himself in the pants business. Stay with us because it's brilliant. Everybody's making comps and flies and cutting velvet, you know, and a spaceship lands from another planet and men get out with jackets and shirts and black socks. No trousers at all. And they say, "Are the pants ready?" And we say, "No. Could you come back Thursday?" And they say they must have them because they're going to a wedding. And we work diligently and make pants constantly. And they come to get them, and when they come and pick them up, they leave us with socks, handkerchiefs, pillowcases, and soiled linen. And they say, "Do it." And the President of the United States goes on television and says that an alien superpower from out of space with superior intelligence is bringing us their laundry. And they're foiled because they travel 117 million light years to pick it up, and they forget their ticket.
I'm Frank Cotolo with your Dummies Guide to the U.S. Let's look at America, which, by the way, spans the entire country. America is made up of states. All of these states have different shapes. That was part of the Founding Fathers' original design. It meant that democracy would be for the people, by the people, of the people, and with the people. For without people, America would be a barren, lonely land, with only a few trees and a general store. America began as a dream, and today it is many dreams. You can travel the length of America and never once go south. The plains are wide and the terrain of America changes from town to town. You can taste great food at every stop, but sooner or later, you will have to stop eating or die of asphyxiation. To travel the United States is to meet many people from many different places, all of them America. You hear different accents and you see different types of clothing, but everywhere, everyone wears shoes. Hats are popular too, but Americans love their shoes even more than they love their pets. America also has many different climates. It can be warm in the winter in Florida and cold in the summer in Texas. It can be raining in Mississippi and windy in Illinois. It can be boiling in Arkansas while a hurricane strikes Kansas. There can be an earthquake in California and a tornado in Tennessee. No matter what is happening in the weather, somewhere in America, weather is the main issue and people are basking or battling the elements. The greatest thing is that you don't have to know anything about America to enjoy visiting America. Whatever language you speak, there will be someone in America who knows that language and can speak it better than you. Whatever your race, color, or creed, Americans won't care. Most Americans don't even know what a creed is. Have fun and enjoy your stay. And if you are in my neighborhood, drop by. I'll be there with my American flag, American family, American slang, and I will probably wave to you and shout, "Welcome to my country!" Now, don't forget, you got one of your own. I'm Frank Cotolo for The Dummy's Guide to the U.S.
That's Mr. Cotolo over there. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Bard of Broadcasting now takes control of the microphone, and not of your head, but inside of it, I will be. Wake up, it's night, you neo-postmodernists, you netterati, couple surface netaholics, and infomaniacs. It's time to be curious, yellow as philosophical entertainment and relevant irrelevance now takes over the airwaves, the cyber waves, whatever waves, the navy waves, I'll take them over. See now. Luck, smarts, guts, and hearts, if you don't learn one thing from the following show, then I just don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you anyway, but I'm going to try and tell you a whole bunch of things. Rolling off my tongue, Dr. Copley is with us, so stay here. You might find something. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello, it is once again time to trip this light, fantastic, trip the cyber light, fantastic, to move onward and upward and never backward, to go along as if we were along, as if it all meant something at all. My name is Frank Cotolo, I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am chronicling Y2K plus 13. Some people were afraid to get to this particular part of Y2K because of the 13. I'm not one of them. I'm one of you, unless you're one of them. And if you're not one of them, I'm not one of you. But if I'm one of you, if you're not one of them, because I am the walrus. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, what a fantastic time we're having here on planet Earth. I'm telling you. Every day is another day filled with experience, filled with breathing, thank goodness, and all other stuff. Not for all of us, but for many of us. So we now offer a moment of silence for those who could not make it to this show this time and no other show, because the least of their problems was coming to this show. They will come no more anywhere else. Let's have a moment of silence for them. Time is up. And now it's time for you and me and the living among us to move onward on this Y2K plus 13 April. What an April this is going to be and continue to be on Cthulhu Chronicles. I sound like that guy who does promos. That's what I am. I was that guy who did a promo. I was doing a promo. Oh, boy, listen to what just happened. Oh, boy, listen to what just happened. Even as we're speaking, you know, I don't do a darn thing to get this show up and running. Really, I don't do anything. And I don't know who's going to be on when, when's going to be on where. And it comes time to do that blog there, CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com. By that time, I think I got an idea. Or someone said, I'll be there. Maybe they'll be here. Maybe they won't show up. I email them. They don't email back. It's the whole, you know, rigmarole. But inside that rigmarole, other things happen. Like I just found out that Dr. Waldar returns to this show. Hasn't been here since Y2K plus 12. Dr. Waldar. This is a busy guy, okay? This is a man who deals with the universe, with numbers and tiny particles. He teaches people. There's always somebody on his back, which, and he has a bad back. I'm sorry about that. But he's feeling better, too. But this is someone who has important things on his mind. He uses way more of his brain than I'm sure. Otherwise, why would I be rambling and he'd be out there doing mankind a service by telling people the things they need to know? Now, that you might, because I don't know if you need to know what I tell you. I tend to think you don't. That's why I have important people on the show now and then, because they have something to tell you. So you should be listening and you should be writing them down there, your notes. Cthulhu Chronicles notebook, yeah, on your Mead notebook. I don't get paid by me, don't get paid by anyone. And very soon, I think we will be talking about going to that, starting a website. That would be funny if we did. That, you know, I should do that. You do a telethon for this show at that spot. Mindbreakers or Kickstarter. That's it, Kickstarter. See, that's how I remember things when I don't remember things. I say other words and other things because I have the meter of the word. Kickstarter, Mindbreaker. You say the dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. That's what I had. I didn't know the word. I had the dun-dun-dun. I had to go to dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun, then comes out Mindbreakers, Split Weavers, Grape Losers, and then suddenly it comes Kickstarters. Kickstarter, I should go to Kickstarter and have a telethon for Cthulhu Chronicles. Anybody want to start that there? Have a telethon means, you know, we've been on for like, whoa, I don't even want to tell you how many years, because I'm not counting. Who's counting? I don't know, but it's been a long time. And it's about time. If I got $10 a show to make up for all the shows I didn't do, and a lot of them cost more than $10, I wonder what I would owe. I wonder what I'd be owed. I'm not owed. You don't owe me anything. Believe me. Hey, go get the book. I'm not even going to do the commercial. You know who's here? Gary Popoli's here. Next week, Dr. Waldar. And you'll find out what we're going to talk about. It's going to be something so big that it's minuscule. You know what I mean? Size is irrelevant. And Dr. Waldar will come to us with any great number of things we could talk about. And don't think you have to know things scientifically. Look, I'm here and I'm talking with him. So you know when I'm talking with him, I'm your voice. So if he starts getting into these mathematical equations and things like that, I'll be the translator. I'll be your ears. Oh, God, imagine that. There are some people now cringing because, well, of course, the people who would cringe at that aren't listening. They're nowhere. They don't want anything to do with me. They may have known me. They may have broken bread with me. They don't want nothing to do with me. If you're listening, you want something to do with me, even if it's just this. And how much more can I have to do with you? I can't be all of your friends. I can't invite you all over for dinner. I can't send you all cards and things. But you can help me. If we make the pyramid go where I'm the point and then it goes out from there, you could be part of that particular congregation. So if anybody wants to go over to Kickstart and start the Cthulhu Chronicles Fund, what do you think I'll do with the money? I mean, if suddenly something happened, it was a phenomena, and I got all this money, what do you think I would do with it? I would spend it on the show. I would spend it on the show because I don't want to pay the taxes. I mean, suddenly they give me like $600,000 for, let's say it's $600,000. That number just came to my head. They give me $600,000 from Kickstarter to make up for the money. That's like retribution, or what they were doing, what the African Americans are doing for the slavery. Was that called retribution? Was that called insulation? Here we go again. I got it. Dun, 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 dun. It's dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dr. Waldor will be here in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, on the 18th of April. Then the 25th of April, we don't know what we're going to talk about, but it's going to be another Cotolo Savino Chronicles. Oh, my God. He wasn't kidding. He's going to be back, and we're going to do it once a month, hopefully, my old partner and I. And if you have any interest at all, and I shouldn't even say that, because nobody has any interest. Although I got some very nice emails. I was shocked that anyone is still alive who used to listen to Cotolo and Savino back in those days. You know, I don't even want to mention those days. Then I'm going to have to come up with years, and I'm going to have to be self-conscious. Okay? Even though I'm one of the rare people in my age who actually has all of his hair and, you know, and runs and walks, and some, it's not all gray either. I don't look like Ted Danson. Have you seen Ted Danson? What's the story, man? The guy looks like, he's all white, even Robert Redford. I look more like Robert Redford being older. I'm aging gracefully. And I don't feel like Robert Redford. I mean, I don't feel that age. In fact, he's older than me, so I couldn't. But I even feel younger than Robert Redford feels. How do I know how Robert Redford feels? I don't, all right? I'm just assuming. You think about all the things you assume and say. My name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name we're doing is the title of this show, and Dr. Popoli is with us today. I said that before. I just left everything and went over to there. I don't wish you could see, but I actually am gesticulating as I speak. And I don't know why. I just do that because that's what you, when I was a kid and I grew up in ethnic neighborhoods, nobody could say anything without using their hands as if they were painting the pictures of the words. That's how they talked. They just went there, their hands went up, they went up, they put a fist, they did a thing. That's what I'm doing right now. And I'm not going to get on a cam and do that. Okay. But you would see that. That's what you would see. Right? The hands going. And I'm doing that because I'm feeling animated. Because once again, I came here with nothing. And I have nothing. And something's going to come out of this. And as you know, I'm the actually opposite. The most fun I have in life is putting nothing where there was once something. Not the other way around. I'm not a builder. I'm a deconstructor. All right? So if I write something, and I do write things. You could go read my book. You could go buy my book. Maybe I should have kickstart my book. Excuse me. Maybe I got all these things running through my head, and I don't even know if Dr. Popoli said yes, and they said yes, and everything. And I wrote to him. I said everything's okay, I guess. So I don't even. You know, I got my Skype open, and I'm hoping that he's going to be there. Because if he doesn't, then I'm going to have to talk to you about people talking with their hands for 2 hours. Do you want that? Huh? Well, if you don't want that, get in touch with Dr. Popoli right now and tell him that at 9:30 it's time. He might be in transit because I'm looking right now. He's not on. He's not on the internet right now yet. So what we'll do is we'll move along without him, and let's see what we could do. We did this. We did that. Let's go. Yeah, I know what we could do. I am going to do it. Okay. I'm going to do it. Here it is.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Do you hear that? That was a clip. Okay, you know, Dr. Popoli did come online a while that was on. It was so he's here, so you don't have to listen to me talk about gesticulation and then, you know, misconstrue the word I'm talking about or what have you. While I was looking for Dr. Popoli on Skype, here's something that really bugs the living daylights out of me, although I don't lose sleep over it and I rarely think about it. But when I think about it, I go, that's nuts, isn't it? You know, I'm constantly at this point in my life, through Y2K, I'm not trying to figure out. My amazement at people, what they do, what they think, and what they say. Sorry, I just hit the microphone. I'm apologizing to an inanimate object. Okay, maybe that's some kind of a clue of the kind of fellow am I. But listen to this. Hey, you know, I noticed that there's a couple of people who I've gotten one way or another, have gotten in touch with these people through some of the great networking that's done across Facebook and Book Faces and MySpaces and Twit Faces and all that stuff. And then suddenly, you know, you're like, you've got everything. You're connected to them everywhere. You're connected to them on Skype. You're connected to them on, you know, all these places. Everything. Everywhere. Okay? And then something happens, and they say, look, get away. I don't like you. I've decided I don't like you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want anything to do with you, right? And yet they don't leave. They don't drop you on your IM. They don't go away on Skype. They just stay there. Why would people who don't want to be with people stay with people like that? Why don't they just delete the person? I don't get it. I don't understand this. Okay, maybe Dr. Popoli, as we talk to him, as time goes on, tonight especially, will tell us about why people do. I'm going to ask him some of those things. Why do people do some of the things they do? What is this all about? Am I expect too much from everyone, but not from you? Because you listen, you stay here, you're with me, and I absolutely adore you. And we will have Dr. Popoli here for the entire stinking hour and whatever. I might not even do any promos or breaks. I might not even go to the bathroom. I might hold it in for the entire time. Soon, there is going to be an announcement about archiving this show. Those of you who can't find the show, if you haven't heard it live, you know, saying, well, what happened? You were on Out Loud, and Out Loud collapsed, and all this stuff happens, okay? Maybe you will love that being archived, what I'm going to tell you, because you're going to get tons of shows you're going to be able to go listen and download. In the meantime, after this show, every Thursday, you could go to Facebook, be my friend, Frank Cotolo, ask me to be my, and then you could download this show. Okay, and you could also listen to it. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and find all the different places where you can hear it, including twice a day at True Talk Radio, and all the Dave's Radio and Integrity Radio and our and Star one Ronette used to be Ronette, now it's Futuristic Frontier Radio. And I got to be on there again, too. And before Jiggy Jaguar, we had a date to be on the air, and then it fell apart again. I don't know what's going on with him or anything that happens with him, but he seems to be busy every day doing this kind of stuff. I can't imagine being busy just doing this kind of stuff every day. What's that all about? I don't know. I get so many other things to do, and I couldn't imagine. I think I'd go nuts if I did like one thing all the time. Maybe that's why I spin in place daily. But I get things done, and I think you should too. It's just the way it happens here in my life, in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. I shouldn't say that because I'm supposed to be in Canada. Am I supposed to be in Canada? SRN Media Works, the wonderful people who continue to support me and do wonderful things to keep this show afloat. 148.ca, where I have blogs and things there. And go to 148.ca/Frank. You could read the new review of a great CD called Come and Go by Liars Club. Those of you who know me from the beginning know of me and my association with Liars Club that goes way back to the beginning of broadband, the beginning of this internet experience. I can't even believe that's what happened. Let's get Dr. Popoli. Let's call him. Oh, wait a second. Is he going to call me? I don't know. We don't need a video call, do we? Let's try and call him. Let's try and call him now, even if it's early. He's probably like not ready because he's waiting for that. Wait, Tom Savino is going to be on. He says he's got a new microphone. He's going to even be clearer. It's beautiful. It's going to be like he's right here. Is that Gary Popoli right here?
Frank.
Hey, how are you?
I'm sensational. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little short of sensational, but that's okay.
I was looking up something because I saw a word and I wanted you to find it that described you perfectly.
Mm. Well, wait a second, I'm joking to death.
Exactly.
Hold on, I'm joking to death. Hey, you know what? I remember, you know what just happened? And you'll love this too, because I just thought of my parents. Something happens, you think of your parents, and I do that a lot now these days. I just had to choke because I drank something, and I heard my mother or father say, "What happened? Did it go down the wrong pipe?"
The wrong hole.
Yeah. No, not hole. It was pipe with us. And I'm thinking to myself, I always used to ask them, I go, like, is there a wrong pipe? How many pipes are in that throat? And how do I get it to always go down the right one? Which I had to say after I was not choking anymore. The wrong pipe. It went down. So in other words, there's a pipe. There's a pipe. There's something in our throats, something along with the esophagus. Things should not go down. Is that where you throw up, the things that come up? I don't know. You're into biology, aren't you? Go ahead, read what it, something, what? It something
I,
describes
I
me?
Now, see, I can't find it.
Where are you looking?
I was looking on dictionary.com.
And you found a word that described?
There was a word on here. You know how they give you, like, new words for the day and things like that?
Yeah.
And they had a word on here that described you perfectly.
Well, do your own interpretation of what you remember, then.
No, I got to get the word. But anyway, listen, first thing, I have to give a shout-out to my students. Because they're listening.
Yes.
And they get extra credit for listening tonight.
Are you joking me? That is great.
Yeah, I'm going to give them extra credit. And these are my Stevenson students. So
that's great.
They were always asking me, I got to give them extra credit. So I said, well, if they listen to the show tonight, they get extra credit.
Do any of them ever ask you about, you know, if they do I have 8x10s or something? Or do they just care about you? Do they not care about me at all?
They don't care about you at
no.
all. In fact, they didn't even know who you were.
Well, a lot of people didn't know, and that's good because, you know, I mean, I don't want to be too popular.
Right.
I mean, that can be dangerous, but still, so what? They didn't know, but now they know because they listen all the time to you
exactly.
on this, you know. But did they ever say things like, you know, I'd like to know more about...
I'd like to know more about Frank is what they said today.
And that's what, did they? Okay. And then you found this word.
And then I found this word to describe you.
Was it the word?
Here it is.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay, go.
Now let's see if you've ever heard of this. You are a flibbert gibbet.
Is that one word? Flibbert?
Yeah, it's flibbert to gibbet.
Flibber, F-L-I-B-E-R.
Who's talking? Oh, that's on here. Okay.
What do you got? Oh, you're getting a delay? You're hearing it back?
No. It's,
you shouldn't be because we don't have
to.
On
this website, there's a.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. They spell it.
Anyway,
spell it.
F-L-I-B.
Yeah.
B-E-R.
F-L-I-B.
B-E-R.
B-E-R.
T-I.
T-I.
G-I-B.
G-I-B.
B-E-T.
Wow. No, I've never even heard of this word. I'm a flibber to gibbet, according
That's
to you.
Right.
Okay, according
a
to you.
Flibber to gibbet.
Let's hear the definition.
Well, it's actually a silly, flighty person, or it comes from a medieval kind of, according to the Science Capital of the World, Wikipedia. A Middle English word referring to a flighty or whimsical person.
I like it.
The only problem is, it says usually a young woman, but you know.
Hey, I'm thoroughly in touch with my feminine self, so I don't mind.
And that's Carl Jung. You're at that age where you should be.
Really?
Yes. But listen, one other shout out.
I love Carl Jung.
My students up at APG are listening to it. The Army base I teach.
Okay.
And so they're going to be listening too. So I told them that you would keep it clean and you wouldn't curse or anything like
no,
that.
No, I'm like, no, I don't do that. You know me. I keep a pretty, even though I could do anything I want on this show. I'm a pro.
You're a flibber to gibbet.
I'm a flibber to gibbet. I'm, you know, I'm going to, you know how much I'm going to use this now?
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be everywhere. I may actually tomorrow start writing a book, Flibbertigibbet, Unbound. Unbound. That would be great.
Right.
That's the name of my new book, Flibbertigibbet, Unbound, by Frank et al. Okay, well,
you still have the cow?
The what?
The cow.
The cow?
Your sound effect cow?
Oh, remember the cow? No, the cow died.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, cow died. Remember that? Wow, you remember
right,
the cow.
So listen, we're supposed to be talking. You want to hear about Carl Jung's shadow side?
Yeah, I do, because I like Carl Jung, and I remember reading some Carl Jung, and what did that have to do with
the
woman?
He just says that when you get older, as you age, you do a flip side to what's called your shadow side. So all the things, you know, if you were this very masculine, very aggressive, very, you know, hard-nosed kind of person in your earlier years, then as you grow older, you'll flip and become more feminine, more passive, you know, less aggressive. And that comes out as you age.
But that's not me. Because I was always flibbertigibbet.
You just said you're getting in touch with your feminine.
No,
side.
I said I am in touch, which means I am now. I have been for a long time. I don't really feel like I'm flipping because I was never a hard nose. I was never one of those guys. You're talking about the kind of guys I always talk about in New York. I was never one of those guys.
Well, you brought it up, so I was just explaining it to you.
Well, no, I didn't bring it up. I said I'm in touch with my feminine self. I could have been in touch with my feminine self for a long time. The problem is I can't touch my feminine self because it's really not developed as much as the feminines that I... Okay. All right. The point here... Okay. Thank you very much for that. I call Jung. I appreciate it. And he's probably right about other people, but not about me.
Okay.
This is Dr. Gary Popoli, who teaches, as you know, those of you who aren't members of fortunate members of his class, as you should know, he teaches at the Army base, and he teaches at ASK, or whatever that's called, the United States Army Base in Maryland.
APG.
Who?
Aberdeen Proving Grounds.
Aberdeen, Maryland?
Yes.
I love that word, Aberdeen. I always loved that word. I knew, I do. I don't know why. Aberdeen.
Is that, you know, a girl with that name?
I wish I did. I'd be in touch with her feminine side if I did. Aberdeen, he teaches at Aberdeen, the Aberdeen National Security Center. He also teaches at the...
Stevenson University.
Stevenson University. Isn't that named after Adley?
No. No, it's named after where it's located in Stevenson, Maryland.
Stevenson, Maryland. Liz, cool. I'm getting...
Who's calling you?
You know who's calling me? I don't understand this. This is the guy who did all my artwork on my book, and he doesn't even realize I'm on the air. He can't... Look, and he's calling me from Los Angeles. I can't talk to him now.
Right.
I mean, what's that? Listen to this.
Right.
It's still ringing. Boy, I'm sorry, Stefan. I can't. The book is called The Molotov Memoirs. You go get it at blurb.com. That was Stefan. Hey, Stefan, you know, people don't know about time changes. They just don't keep track. And it's amazing because people who do know me and have contact with me, they don't listen to the show. It's amazing how many people that know me. Most of my audience are people who don't know me. People who know me have had enough of me. They don't want to listen to me talking. But once in a while they'll listen only because I have people like you, you know, but very rarely. Anyway, let's go back. Sorry, Stefan, if you he can't be listening, right? How can he be listening?
Right, if he's calling you.
Boy, I love
maybe
that guy.
You never know. Maybe he is listening. He wants to ask me an important question.
No, I don't think so. He wouldn't. Okay. He'd be on Skype,
right?
Where we are on Skype, Doctor. What more are we going to? What did you have planned for us?
We were going to talk a little bit tonight about death and dying.
There's something that intrigues all of us.
And you know what's even more interesting? The lead article on APA.org, which you know is the American Psychological Association.
Of course, I do.
Is a study about afterlife.
You know, there's this book out I saw on the shelves some guy who's a neurosurgeon who says, right. He said there is a heaven, and he has proof that there's an afterlife and there's place. He has proof, he said. Man, but you wouldn't want this guy working on your brain, would you?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't. Okay, go on.
I'll tell you the book that you should read that's written by a neurosurgeon. The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat.
I've heard about that.
Yes, that's a great book.
It's a great title.
Yeah, it is.
I would have used that title had he not. You know, you can use titles. I could use that title and just write an entirely different book. You can't copyright titles.
You can't?
No, I could write Gone with the Wind tomorrow.
You know what I'm going to do then?
What?
I'm going to write Frank Catolo.
Here's what I don't know. Listen to this. This really bugged me. Listen to this. These are the things that bugged me. There's a new series. They've redone Ben-Hur. They did. They redone it. It's a television series now.
And they call it Ben-Him.
No. No, this is what bothers me. What bothers me is it's Ben-Hur, and this is for a whole new audience, okay? So, you know, it's kind of updated, and the hairstyles are different and everything.
Right.
But they're doing this whole thing with the story of Ben-Hur, and it says Ben-Hur. They took out the hyphen. The hyphen's part of his name. His name is Judah Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur. They took out the hyphen. This is what's happening to the world. This is what's happening to the younger people who are adapting you do whatever you want with Ben, with the character. I don't care. That's neo-postmodernism. Do whatever you want. Lie. Do whatever. I don't care. But don't change his name. They took out the hyphen. Who thought it? You know what? To me, it's a sign of like stupidity. They didn't realize. I don't think they even realize it. Now they got this entire bunch of people put this millions of dollars to put this series together, and the hyphen's gone. That's stupid.
Yeah. Why are you so upset at her?
I don't know. These things bother me. They don't keep me up. I don't think about it. But I notice them, and I go, look at this. It just is, look at this. This is stupid. I say things like stupid because, you know, I use the word stupid as a synonym for like strange and weird and I don't understand why these things happen. Anyway, go on. Let's talk about.
Do you know what a tittle is?
No, I won't joke about that. What is a tittle? Is it a teacup or a teapot or something?
No, tittle. I mean, you were talking about the hyphen in Ben-Hur's name, but the tittle is the small dot above the I and the J.
Oh, the tittle is really, that's called a tittle?
Yeah, it's called the tittle.
Do you know what an ellipsis? You know, what is an ellipsis?
Is it an oval?
No, an ellipsis, the three dots that you put after it, as that mean, and so on, you know, when you're saying.
Oh, I see. Yeah, an ellipsis.
It's called an ellipsis.
Yeah. Yeah, but that would be three tittles.
No, but they would be fallen tittles. Wouldn't they? There would be three misplaced tittles. Which, by the way, I might want to add, is the name of my new book. Three misplaced tittles.
The sagging tittles.
Or the fallen tittles by Frank Catolo. The story of three misplaced tittles. In our language, in your language, in every language. Every language has a tittle. There's a whole nother book. That's the follow-up. Every language has a tittle.
Written by...
And they'd say, what is the title of your book? And you call it... Or if you just call it tittle... They'll go, what's the title of your book? You'll say, Tittle. Tittle's the title? Yeah, Tittle's the title. The title is Tittle.
Right. And all you have on the front of the book is just a dot.
Yeah, no com.
And that would sell a million copies because people would want to know what it is.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about
death and dying.
Death and dying in relationship to what? Human behavior? In terms of how did we do this?
Yeah, in terms of... we'll start off with probably the most well-known theorist.
Because, you know, we had Dr. Karen Wyatt on a couple of weeks ago. She's a psychologist. She's a psychiatrist. She's a doctor, a regular medical doctor. She wrote a book called What Really Matters. And she has worked all her life with people who are dying. That's who she works. She works with these people. She deals with them and stuff. So she knew. I've learned a lot from her. So now you tell me stuff about what you're saying, and I will be able to.
Let me just tell you the one theory.
I'll be able to speak it. Oh, that's right. You tell theories anyway. So does she. Go ahead.
Yeah, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Hey, why do I know that name? I know that.
Well, she is the one that says that when someone learns of their own death or of a loved one's apparent death, that they go through a series of five stages.
Oh, the five stages. That's her.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, the acronym that I tell my students is DABDA, and it's D-A-B-D-A. So
okay,
it's
denial.
Denial.
Anger.
Anger.
What's the next letter? B?
B.
Wait, B is, hold on. Denial, anger. That's not denial, anger. B, wow, I know this. Denial, anger, not B, the denial, anger, B, I lost the B.
Bargaining.
Oh, bargaining, of course. I'll do anything. Right. Miss Logan, what's the next letter?
D.
No, we already did denial. I mean, bargaining. I don't know.
Depression.
Oh, really? I don't know that was part of it.
Yeah, and then
acceptance.
Correct.
But depression? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Of course, I'm asking you, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And here's the thing. Now, some people have looked at this theory closer, but I will tell you. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross spent the last few years of her life staring at a window from a room that had a tiny light in it. And people interviewed her, and she said that she had gone through these stages, but that she spent most of her time in the stage of anger.
Most in anger, yeah.
Because she kept having stroke after stroke after stroke. She wouldn't quit smoking. And she said that she was angry that she was, you know, that she suffered so much.
So, okay, anger.
So she found herself spending most of her time in anger. Now, on the flip side of that, people say that children do not go through the stage of anger.
We talked about this with Dr. Wyatt. We talked about this with Dr. Wyatt because kids aren't, you know, she was saying something about kids tend to be more accepting about when they know about this stuff, and I brought up the fact of like, well, that's because they're not fixed with thoughts about life and stuff. Is that true?
And you know what? Maybe they just don't have the repressed, embedded anger that adults have.
I don't see how they could. First of all, some of them would think they don't think the same way because they're not developed. They don't have they may think like, well, the angels will come and take me away and believe it. Or they have a whole bunch of things built into being puerile, which explains that life is not over. You're just going to continue in another way.
Right.
And
you know, adults too. The first thing, you know, if someone, after you deny certain things, and someone tells you, you know, your time is near, then you can imagine you start thinking about all of the things that you wanted to do, dreamt of doing, you know, put off because of some other reason or whatever, and now it looks like you're not going to get a chance to do them. So that, you know, the anger builds.
Okay, go ahead.
And so I don't think children really have that embedded in them.
Well, let's just talk about adults.
Right. So, you know, you've heard this pronoun, they, you know, so it must, it's somewhere in the world is this.
This organization, this bunch of guys on sit down.
Exactly, that are highly educated in
everything. They say. So what do they?
Right. They say, you know, when you accept your own death, then you'll die. Well, how would you know that?
How would they know? That's right, because they didn't die.
And it's not like you can ask people.
Now let's look. This subject has got to bring up any number of things that have to do with how people live their lives, and doesn't it?
Yes, and at the end of that spectrum comes the NDEs, the near-death experiences.
Yeah.
These people that claim that they've seen all of these things.
Yeah.
Which is, this article that was just read,
yeah,
not written, says that what's interesting about these things that people say they have seen once their level of consciousness is non-existent, for even if it's for a small period of time. The interesting thing is, when they talk about all these things that they see, these researchers asked people to come up with, you know, what they would think they would see in, you know, similar instances. And what's interesting about the research is that the people who have had the near-death experiences give descriptions of things that are far more vivid and clear and, I guess, specific than the people who have never had one, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be something to the near-death experience.
Well, there is something, but the point is it what they all say it is, or is that just wishful thinking? This brain of ours is magnificent, the things it could do. I mean, look at how it fools us every day with normal stuff. I mean, you could be cutting a piece of bread, and for some reason or another, your brain fools you into thinking your finger's not there. I mean, because you're so used to just doing it. Your brain can do all sorts of stuff. So why wouldn't it, under the circumstances, just go into this, spiral of desire to continue to exist? I mean, it might be fooling you there, too.
Yeah, but when you look at the PET scans and the MRIs, there's no activity there.
Where? So there's no activity
that
where?
That makes it even more eerie.
Where's there no activity?
In the brain.
When what?
When these people lose consciousness, or they have, you know, a cardiac arrest, or, you know, what they call, for example, people who have been in a coma. When you look at the MRIs of these people, there's no activity in the brain.
But it is true.
And when they come out of their coma, they describe all of these things that they've seen.
Well, yeah, the things that they've seen in their head. We have dreams, too. Nobody seems to, and you're a big Freud man, right? Nobody seems to look at dreams like they have this spiritual attachment while the brain is still alive, while the brain is still cooking. These things are just going on everywhere. And besides this, now we do know.
Wait a second. Count for them with the fact that you have activity in your brain.
Yeah, but wait a second. You have, they say, how do we know? We do know this. We know that if the brain is shut down, for how long it dies? I mean, how long before you can possibly?
Well, I don't know. You know, people have been in comas for years.
Comas, the brain is alive in a coma. That's not, I'm talking about
it
people
is,
who
it
lose,
is, but,
well, they flatline. How long can you flatline before it's over?
Until the line becomes a normal curve.
Well, what is that? Isn't there usually like 4 minutes without 5 minutes without oxygen? Didn't you ever see the movie Flatliner where they tried to get high because, right?
Yeah, I did that one time. Did you?
No, I didn't. But I'm not talking about my experiences because my experience is entirely different from other people's experiences. And I have come close to death, I have been told. And I always joked about this fact that in my weakest moments of life, when that was happening, that there's a guy telling me that way, that, and I'm looking up, but the light's over there, that way. They're convincing me to go away from the light. That's what goes on in my head. They don't want, you know, because everybody said, like, go, you see the light. Go toward the light. Go toward. And there's, I got a guy, a special guy assigned to me from the great, whatever it is, the heavens, says, let that guy go that way. Send him that way. We don't want him here. Go on. I'm just saying that if you flatline, you die. We all know that. So what's the big deal? These people aren't flatlining long enough. And in that time that the brain is deprived of oxygen, listen to me. I sound like I really know what I'm talking about. during that time, whatever time that might be, that the brain is deprived of oxygen, all sorts of crazy things are going on in the brain, and a light might actually be what the brain sees as life at that point, because it's light. There's this light. I mean, who knows what people are seeing? And what about all the people who see Donald Duck? We don't hear about them. We always hear about the people. I saw the light, and I went into the, and then there was all my parents and the people that I had dinner with, and they stood there, and they said to me, "Oh, it's not time yet. Go away. Go back. Go back." And I said, "But wait, how could it? It's got to be time. I'm here." And they went, no, it's not time. Go back." And then you go back, and then you wake up and you're telling people, "You know, my whole family was over there." And what's really weird about my whole family being there is that half of them aren't even dead yet. You know? So you tell me now.
I'm sorry I got you off on a tangent.
I know, huh? I just so want. And you're a doctor, you're a psychologist, and I know you're into theories and stuff like that, but let's get some solid, here, you know, we deserve this as human beings. Don't give me this stuff, you know? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, back to her theory.
Yes, this is Mrs. Sears, Sam. Sears, Sam, Helen Kubler, Sam.
Elizabeth Kubler Ross.
And she's pissed because she's angry. She's pissed.
She's gone.
She's pissed before she goes. You can't be pissed after you go because that's a feeling, and you can't have a feeling when there's no feeling left.
Right.
Okay, go.
Right. Now, some people say that the order of the stages is different from what she had proposed. Now, you know, I haven't seen anybody come up with another order that's been, you know, printed in all the psych books. But some people say that the order is different. Well, maybe it is, but if it's the same stages, what difference does it make? Right?
I guess so.
What were you doing? Replenishing?
I'm listening. I'm listening to you. I'm trying not to interrupt.
Yeah, but you were replenishing your...
No, I'm dead. There's no more coffee. It's all gone. It's all gone. And there's no water. There's no water down here or anything. So that's that. Listen, what are you saying is that... I'm angry now. You know, I get angry. When I think about death, I get angry. That's, I'm going to be stuck in anger.
Why?
From the beginning to the end. It's going to be nothing but anger. And I can't, I wish I had a shrink to tell me about this. Why, you would think I had the most charmed and cherished life in the world. And I would have everything I ever wanted. I had, there's no problems or anything. I'm just wonderful. I mean, that's why I cling to life. I have no idea why I cling to life. But every time it comes up and I go, "Oh my God. Oh, whatever." And I just go like, oh my goodness, here comes eternal darkness no matter what I do. I'm pissed. I don't want to go there. I mean, my conscience, and then I go, "Well, your conscious self isn't going to know you go there." There. I go fall right back into being this.
How would you know?
What?
Suppose there is an alternate form of consciousness that we don't know about, that's similar to dreams and hypnosis and meditation and...
Yeah, but they're not going to have everything bagels.
They're not going to have what?
Everything bagels.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what I'm saying is that we know what we know and we're attached to what we're attached to. And all I'm telling you is I get angry because I like this. This is it, as Alan Watts wrote about, and all the Zen Buddhist Western guys were. This is it. I want it. What consciousness are we talking? Okay, so I get to this other place, and what? I'm in an alternative consciousness, and I can't have an everything bagel. Are there better things than everything bagels with a little smart balance out of those little things you can just use your finger and lick them off? I mean, what? What else is there? Are there three ways? Are there freeways? Are there? I guess you know. And this is what bothers me is that all I have is human.
It sounds like a lot bothers.
Well,
you.
All I have is human consciousness. This is all I have. And then and people say, yeah, but what if there's this other great? Well, what if? What does that do for me now? You know. This is why I'm going to be stuck in anger.
Can you see why the second stage is anger?
Here's my acronym. That's anger, 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 and anger. I got anger, 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 anger. He's in stage three of anger now. Anger, anger, anger. I'm moving to stage four. Now I'm really angry. Now I'm pissed. Don't say pissed. It'll be app. So go ahead.
Even if you suppose you have two stages, anger and acceptance.
Oh, the double A.
Right, then you'd be
double A. MCO. Remember Amco?
Right.
But double A. I'm going to have two A's. If I have anger and then I don't know. I don't know. I don't know acceptance.
All right, here's the other thing.
Maybe I do.
I've heard this theory and I've been researching it. Can't find any hardcore evidence yet, but I've heard that we come back every 300 years.
Yeah, right. How did they figure out 300? Where did that come from?
Well, that was a movie, remember?
The 300.
Yeah.
300. You know, those people never came back. That was a number of how many soldiers.
Oh, but I've seen that guy in other movies. So, every 300 years you come back.
Well, who says that now? Where'd you get that one?
I just heard it somewhere once.
Well, you know, I heard a lot of things. I heard
Well, that's what I heard, and I've been, you know, looking into it, but I can't find any evidence of it.
I can't find the evidence either of the ones where, like, you know, if you don't cross over, you stay here and you keep repeating this, you wander. How about these souls wandering in the night because they can't find the light? And they just want these wandering around.
Yeah. Is that like the... Like the soldiers up at Gettysburg?
And what exactly is the soul? What is the soul? This is a
That's
very literary...
Shoe.
It's a literary, poetic thing, isn't it? There's no evidence of a soul.
Yeah, it's a part
I know,
of
you're going to try the jokes. Come on, you know? Even Dr. Scholes had quite a soul. Right? I know, blah, blah. Tom McCann, now there was a man with a soul.
Isn't it a fish?
Oh. Why... I thought you were going to talk about this. Why am I? I keep interrupting because I don't hear. I wanted to talk about this because I want some theories that go along with me and what I feel. I'm tired of all these other theories because they're all just. I could make one up too.
Yeah, but that's, you know, these are people that put a little bit more time into coming up with a theory.
Like what?
Like, you know, if you don't cross over to the other side, you're going to be on the bottom floor at the Gettysburg place.
Stupid.
You've heard that. I mean, listen, my buddy that I used to work with said he went there, and when the elevator doors opened up, all these soldiers were walking around tending to dead people.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go out for drinks with that guy anymore, unless he was willing to laugh about it.
Well, let me ask you this, and I tell my students this all the time.
Go.
I would love to interview a ghost.
You know, right? Yes, I do this consciously with everything that people say they believe in that you can't see, hear, touch, or smell, you know.
Right.
I always, you know, I want all these people, in other words, I think all this stuff relatively, all this is, I mean, all of this is not relative to us because nothing happens. If you don't see a ghost, then why should I believe in ghosts? Show me a ghost. I want UFOs? Great. They're unidentified. When they're identified, I want to see. Bring one down. Let it land in my backyard. I want to see it. I want to know. I don't like all this.
I want to interview an alien.
I went, you know, people told me, they said, you better be careful, Frank, because the devil is after your soul, the way you think. And then what, so I went in the backyard. I said, okay, where is he? Come on, come back. Show me there's a devil. Give me something to hold on to here, all right?
Right.
I mean, show me. Don't give me this. Everybody who gives me, you know, people could teach you in school, and they do. You're a teacher, right? And they teach you about, let's say they're teaching geography, and they tell you about the Eiffel Tower. One day, I'm out there, and I see it. And I went, this is what they told me about. It was always here. All right. But then, I'm over there in religious instructions and they're telling me about whatever they're telling me about. And there's nothing. Nothing ever. Nothing. And it's pretty hard for the human brain to come up with even concept. The concept of nothing drives me nuts. That's why I get angry. I want something. So go on now. Tell me about other studies, other things. By the way, we're right at the top of the hour here. Dr. Gary Popoli exclusively with us. He, of course, is the he's the professor of the Aberdeen Military Academy. And all you guys from Aberdeen, I love you guys and girls who go to Dr. Popoli's class. And over there in Stevenson, which is not Hadley Stevenson College, you people are so lucky to have this guy. You're lucky about two things. Number one, he's your teacher. And number two, I am not one of the students. Two things that make you lucky here on Cotolo Chronicles on Y2K plus 13. And Dr. I'm going to give the entire show over to you here now for the beginning of the second hour. Tell me some of these other things you're going to tell me about, and I will shut up about my stupid feelings. Okay, go.
All right. Well, first of all, let's talk about aging. And as you age, you start to become more cognizant of your own death.
You're feeling your own mortality.
Exactly. Okay. And then that produces feelings of anger, apprehension, depression. So there's an old cliche, and you know what it is. I tell all my young students, because they're all young, that you have to live your life to its fullest, because you don't want to get to the end and turn around and look behind you and say, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. You have to do it now. Now, I understand you can't do everything. I want to travel the world. I can't do that right now. But I'm hoping that maybe one day I can go to a few places that I want to see. Because if I get to the end, or someone tells me I'm getting near the end and I only have, 6 months left, I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be with you, with the awe.
You know what? Now and then I look, though I do this, and this is kind of a reverse, maybe this is a reverse psychology, but now and then I don't look at, even though I know, just be aware that it's all going to end sometime, either quickly or slow, whatever. I know it's going to end. And I sit down and I don't think about what I didn't do. I think about all the things I'm really happy I didn't do and the things I don't want to do. I don't really care to sit on the back of a smelly camel and see the pyramids. Screw it. I never wanted to be a surgeon. I never wanted to be a doctor. I never wanted to have that kind of diploma. And then it starts to go, wow, the things I can fill lives up with all the things I didn't want to do. It makes me feel okay, because what's left over, at least, are the things I really wanted to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
So if you think about it the other way, say, what don't you want to do? I don't want to get
philosophical on you.
Oh, no, you don't. You want to get...
But if you don't, if you're glad that you didn't do
a lot
certain things, then you're glad that you did what you did, which was not do those things.
Yeah, even now.
Right?
I look at people, I talk to people, I see people on the television, I hear them talking around, and I'm going like, man, am I glad I don't do that? I don't want to do that. You know something? I don't even want to do this. But somehow I fall into it and have fun. But the point is, I know I've done this and I do it, but it is amazing to me how many things I just don't want to do, never wanted to do, don't care if I ever do. And I don't know what that says about any theories of past lives. Right?
Well, you can't do everything.
I don't want to do mostly anything. That's the deal.
There are things that you want to do.
I've done things that have come so close to things that, I've done so, and you know what, the other thing is this, I can't believe how much I've done compared to other people, and other people sit back and they're the ones who will be looking back. Here's what I'll be looking back at, things like, why didn't, I'm not saying I don't have regrets, but they're in such petty, petty places, my regrets, so I do it kind of the opposite about it. But I think you're right, and you tell your students the correct thing. Don't look back. And isn't it true that even now, even when people are in their 40s and 50s, they kind of live as if they're going to live forever, and so they put things off and they wait, and they might say, what are you going to do? But you can't, right?
Absolutely.
That's really dumb, and it bugs me because there are things I want to do, and the key to it are certain other people, and it can't be done because they're going to sit back and wait. Wait for what? Go on.
I'm with you.
Good.
So are you going to collect your Social Security at 62?
I am already collecting my Social Security. So there. And then now everybody knows.
I'm waiting until I'm 80.
No, I'm doing it because you know why? Because now is very important to me. Now. Whether I'm 62, 12, 15, 89, now is what is important. I'm not living any other time but now. And sometimes that's very, very, that is in itself anger-filled and depressive. And so, I mean, it's all sorts of things now. Now, the now that I'm existing right now. And someone said the other day, someone wanted to get into an argument with me about...
Not with you.
Yeah, wanted to get into an argument with me about the deficit. You know, and all the money that the spending and
how it's Republican
and how it's going to how it's going to affect the future generations. You know what I told him? And he never expected this. There was no way to argue. I said, "Frick the future generations." Frick them. What am I going to do? I want to deal with what I deal with right now. I had it hard. Let them deal with that. What am I supposed to do? Give up the rest of my life so that they don't owe the Chinese 10 cents on a dollar? That's screwy, isn't it? That's stupid.
Listen, I think maybe we need to have a personal encounter.
What do you mean? Do I need an intervention?
You're getting a little bit rowdy tonight.
Yeah, what's the matter, huh?
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's all right.
It's the subject. I'm angry. My acronym is working. Talk more. You need to do more. I could rant, rave about this stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm a flibber to gibbet, so what can I tell you?
Yeah, you are.
I am.
A flibber to gibbet.
I am.
And you're in the process of writing your book about the tittles.
I'm always writing books. My mind is constantly doing things.
Listen, I've told you this before.
What?
I'm jealous of you.
Oh, that you shouldn't be. You're not that insecure. You should be jealous.
No, it's not that I'm insecure.
Well, isn't that what jealousy is? Insecurity. You're a psychologist.
No. I don't mean, you know, that I'm angry with you.
No,
and that,
you mean.
You know, but you have a great mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I mean, you can, you know, you, look, you, you know, and I know, you know, other stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And you, there are an awful lot of things that you can do. I think it's fascinating.
Well, it is fascinating, and it keeps me busy, and and that's one of the reasons why I get angry. I want to continue to do all this stuff. Why do I have to stop? Just because eternal darkness is there?
What? Yeah.
That's anger. Well, wouldn't you be angry? You are angry anyway.
But listen to this.
What?
You know, now that we have those halogen light bulbs.
Yeah?
Maybe the light won't burn out.
What light? Our light?
The light that you see when you die, that light.
Well, I don't know. I told you.
Halogen light bulbs. Anyway, when you age, two theories about what you do.
Uh-huh.
There's one called... activity theory, and there's one called not withdrawal, it's called it's activity and disengagement. So elderly people, they go one of two routes. They either feel as though they're too old to do all of the things that they used to do, and they can't keep up with, you know, their others and so forth. And so they just kind of stay home, do nothing.
Uh-huh.
Disengagement theory is the fact that they don't want to be a burden on other people, you know, and so they no longer socialize, and their friends are dying and they get depressed, and so they disengage from society. So the activity theory is that they really go in that direction because they can't do the things they used to do. And the other theory is that they go in that direction because they just want to withdraw from society because it's getting really depressing. But either way, you start to do this reevaluation of your life. Now, Eric Erickson, you've heard of Eric Erickson.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that got two names. It's amazing he never played for he was never a disc jockey. You know, here's Rob Roberts with the news. Here's Jimmy James. Here's Ricky. Here's Rich. Here's Rich Richards. Go ahead. Eric Erickson could have been a disc jockey.
Well, Erickson, his final stage, the final crisis that
you know, if your last name is Erickson, what kind of parents are you? Let's name him Eric. What are you, just stupid? You don't have an imagination or what? Why do they want him to be Eric Erickson? He's already got an Eric in his name. Why would they make him Eric Erickson? I see these. It's like the hyphen in Ben. What are they thinking? Go ahead.
All right. Integrity versus despair.
Go ahead.
When you get to the end of your life, this is the last crisis that you deal with. So you look back. You can either say, A, I have made the most of my life. I have done. Now, couldn't do every single solitary thing. I've also made mistakes along the way. But I have done and made a tremendous accomplishment with my life. Or you look back and say, I shoulda. And I wasted time and, you know, I wasn't productive and, you know. And so this is the final crisis that you have to deal with when you get to the end of your psychosocial cycle.
Now, this is obviously because a lot of this has to be because as we grow up, we are taught that we really need, that we need, and you should know this because you're the guy with the psycho and psycho stuff. We're taught that we need to be productive. We need to do this. We need to do that. We have to do this. We should make this. And when in fact, we don't have to do anything. And everything we do, we should do just because we kind of like to do it. It makes us feel good. Right? I don't have to be productive. I don't have to invent anything. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be nice. I don't have to do anything.
Productive doesn't mean in that sense. It means, first of all, you didn't sit home and just rot.
Well, most people don't sit home and just rot.
That's
They do something, but then they always say, I should have done something else.
No, but
they don't have to necessarily have done anything. Some people can't do things, you know. You know what's great? There'll be a guy, I'll see a guy or a woman or a man, who's like, and you know, they're older and they know they're going to die. And I mean, and they're sitting back going, you know what I should have been a star pitcher for the Yankees. It's like, well, you never could have been, okay, pal? And so no matter what you did, it wouldn't have happened, all right? So they think of all these things they could have done. I could have at least tried. Yeah, I know, and you would have failed miserably, all right? I know this. They can't tell me. They can't say to me, Frank, you're going to sit back and you're going to go, geez, I wish I got better marks and I really came out of college with a great, and I could have, who cares? Who cares? I couldn't have done it. I was that stupid. I was that smart. I'm not going to fool myself. Go on.
You know when I was supposed to tell you something at the beginning of the show?
But you didn't? What?
I didn't.
Why? I thought it was the flibber to gibbet.
Well, no, but
well,
I was talking to an old friend of yours today.
An old friend of mine.
And
okay.
she said, I want you to tell Frank that he hasn't aged a day.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Well, let's not mention her. I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I have, though. She could look at pictures. Well, okay, I appreciate it. That's a wonderful thing, and I think that's a symbol. How she sees me must be because of how I communicate somehow that she and she realizes that my spark is – I still have spark. I don't feel this age. I've talked about this 100 times.
She's only seen a picture of you.
Yeah.
And evidently – and she said that you have really aged gracefully.
And I said at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, I'm aging more like Robert Redford's aging.
Yeah,
I
mean, but you don't know what he felt like.
No, I don't. I don't know what he felt like.
Right. But you still feel better than he does.
I don't know if I feel better than he does, but I feel okay. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't in a movie with Barbara Streisand. That's not something I look back. Geez, I could have been in a movie with Barbara Streisand. Why didn't I do that? I am like, oh, who cares?
You know, I was telling my students that you used to write for and for Wolfman Jack. They didn't know who he was.
They didn't even know. I know, because like, you know, that's what's happening. The generation,
older.
Generations are turning over, and there's not a lot of, you know. I know people who don't know of people that are far more popular, and, you know, you could ask kids about Clark Gable, and they don't know who is Clark Gable. Who they don't know lots of things.
Is that who they named the Clark Bar after?
Do you want to?
Do you know that, or do you know the answer to that?
And the answer is probably no. Baby Ruth.
They had a Reggie Bar, remember?
And Baby Ruth was not named after Babe Ruth, I don't think. There was a Babe Ruth Bar. Baby Ruth was named after some baby whose name was Ruth.
I was just asking.
Yeah,
you know,
but, yeah,
I don't want you to get upset with me.
Not upset with you. Right. I just want to know more about this stuff that you find in your... what about Freud? And what about the classics? These guys, what did they say about life's end?
See, Freud, most of what Freud talked about focused on, no matter what age you were, focused on your childhood.
Right.
And so, you know, he was a personality theorist, so he didn't say a whole heck of a lot about, you know, death and dying and, you know, all that stuff. Plus, as you know, he was a neurologist. I don't know if you know that or not. Erikson, who followed Freud, took Freud's theory a little bit further and actually talked about this stage when you get to the end of your life that you look back on your life. And either you've lived with integrity or despair.
Now, wait a second. Those are the only two choices?
That's it. That's the crisis.
Oh, screw him. You can have... really? I mean, you... that's stupid.
Wait a minute.
That's black and white. There's nothing's black and white.
Listen, that's just the final crisis.
Oh, okay. I don't even think that's...
For example, is generativity versus stagnation. So, you know, you've either, you know, had a family, you've contributed to the good of society, your great-grandparent, this and that, blah, blah, or you become stagnant. You're nothing. It's like an old pine just sitting in the woods. Right?
Yeah, but is one or the other?
Yeah. Each one of his stages is a crisis that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the crisis you have to deal with, generativity versus stagnation.
Well, you know, if we look up the word integrity and we see what he's talking about, let's do this for a second, see if he's actually means something else. Because that's, like, stupid. I think this is, like, beyond belief stupid. No wonder Freud said, look, get out and go do your own stuff. Because I can't put up with you. That's probably what happened. Integrity is, okay, either integrity, and look at these aren't even opposites, integrity and despair. These are not opposites. So what is he saying? Integrity. Here we go. Integrity. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Uprightness, soundness of character, moral wholeness, honesty, probity, entirety, entireness, completeness, rectitude, purity. Now, the opposite is dishonesty. So now what he's saying, and the opposite of, now let's look up despair. Despair doesn't have to do with dishonesty. Despair is not the opposite of integrity. So what is he saying? I'm sorry, or okay, I'm happy that I was I was upright, that I was morally homeless?
Let me read this to you.
Go on.
The final crisis is represented by integrity versus despair.
Go.
So Erikson proposes this stage begins when an individual experiences a sense of mortality. This may be retirement, death of a spouse, you know, changing social roles, whatever. No matter what the cause, the sense of mortality precipitates the final crisis. The final crisis manifests itself as a review of the individual's life / career.
Right, so then he's going to look back and say, I should have...
The outcome of life, career, reminiscence can be either positive or negative. Ego integrity is the result of positive resolution of the final life crisis. It's viewed as the key to harmonious personality development. The individual views their life, their whole of life, with satisfaction and contentment. Conversely, despair is the result of the negative resolution or lack of resolution in the final life crisis. It manifests itself as a fear of death, sense that life is too short, and depression. Now, how's that?
I think it's all wrong. He's all wrong.
Wait a minute.
Now, I don't know if this is semantics or what, but I don't buy this, because by just saying integrity is the good part, and then you look at this, it means like I'm going to look back and go, you know, I did well. I was a good boy. I did fine. I did wonderful things. I feel good about my life because I did wonderful things. And that's not necessarily the road to a satisfied ego. You don't always have to do wonderful. Nobody does all wonderful things.
No, see, I think you're taking it too.
Literally?
Hello,
we're using a language and the man is trying to describe this thing. Why don't we use the right words then?
Okay, for example, let's suppose your entire life you've spent in and out of rehab, addicted to different drugs, were abusive to all your friends, never associated with your children, lived by yourself, lived off welfare, and somebody told you had 3 months to live. Now, my guess, I don't know, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that when you look back on your life, you're going to say, pretty worthless.
Hey, but look who you're describing.
What kind of character
are you describing?
I like when I give examples, I like to give the extremes.
Yeah, well, that's an extreme, all right, isn't it?
Right. So then you have the person who, you know, went to college, graduated, nice money, big investments, great family, big house, children, grandchildren, volunteers at the cancer clinic, donates money to charity.
Yeah.
And look back on their life and they say, you know what? I did pretty good.
Yes, I mean, everybody's in between those. Nobody's on either side of the that is unbelievable to come up with a theory that involves those two characters. Those are the extremes beyond belief. Everyone's in the middle of that.
First of all,
what?
I think you're angry tonight.
No, isn't everyone in the middle of that?
What?
Isn't everyone in the middle of that? Don't we
no,
all?
G is in the middle of that.
Oh God!
It's A N G E. I mean R Y or E R, whatever. Angry or anger. So the G is in the middle.
Those of you people who are in his classroom, do you notice how he tries to, and he feels like if he does these little things, he's like entertaining, when in fact the entertainment value of him is what he knows and knowledge. If he does this in your class, here's what I want everybody who's in Dr. Popoli's class to do. The next time he brings up or comes up with, when you're being sued, and comes up with one of these outrageous little quips, I want you all to raise your hand over your head and go like this and clap 4 times.
Right.
And he'll know to shut up. And go on.
Okay. Now, I know that there are two extreme examples that I gave you. But as you were to come closer and closer and closer to the middle, you're still going to tell me that you're either on one side or the other. And that you feel positive about your life. You may have made some mistakes. But for the most part, you tried to do the best. You tried to contribute to society.
No, but wait a second. See, there you go.
What?
There you go. Okay. You don't have to. I'm not going to look and go like, you know why my life was a failure? Because I really didn't contribute all I had to my country and my church and my... it's like, I don't have to.
No. See, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Good. Go.
Okay. Glad you brought that up. You could look back right now and say, listen, are you kidding me? My life's great. If I died tomorrow, I'd be happy. Because, look, I've entertained millions of people playing music. I've written books. I've lived on my own. I used to do this for a living. I have two great kids. I think you could make a whole list of positive things about your life. And maybe you didn't go to church, and maybe you didn't donate any money to charity or whatever. But that doesn't mean, you know, that's not one of the prerequisites of all this. So even though you haven't done all that, I'd still say you would be on the integrity side of this.
Okay, so we're using integrity, and this is what's important, to make this definition clear in this context. In this context, integrity means you did what you felt you wanted to do. You were a bit successful, you understood, you embraced the success, you were happy about it, and other people benefited from it even if you didn't do anything. This is the integrity.
Right.
Okay, so then we define that. Despair, right. Then, despair...
I call it the I should've.
Despair is looking back and just having the regret that you didn't do some of the things. You didn't even try to do some of the things that you thought about doing.
Exactly.
You were in it. So one of them is, okay, so let's really put this into two very literal compartments, categories. One is active, one is inactive. How's that?
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
I'll buy that then. Thank you, Mr. Erickson. I'm sorry you got two of the same names.
Yeah.
Because he'd be the son of Erickson. He'd be Eric's son. And he would be Erickson. Go ahead.
He would be Eric Erickson's Erickson.
Yeah, he'd be Eric's son. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I told my students, you know who John B. Watson is?
Not off the top of
my head. He was the founder of behaviorism.
Oh, okay.
He studied at Johns Hopkins University. But one night the police showed up at his door and said, you know, one of your children's in trouble. And he said, what son is it?
Everybody, hands over your head. Four. Okay. Actually, that one wasn't too bad. So yeah. John Watson was.
Okay. So anyway, mm-hmm. so here's what I'm saying. Regardless of your literary interpretation of this,
literal.
Of this,
crisis. It's not a literary interpretation. I'm not talking about books. It's a literal interpretation.
Literal,
not literary interpretation.
Right. Literary would be book. Your book.
Yeah,
right. Literal interpretation. All I'm saying is, you're probably, if you and I interviewed people, they would probably fall on one side or the other of this. Now, they may not be, you know, absolutely, positively dichotomies in terms of meaning, but, you know, they give the impression that you either did good with your life or you look back on your life and you wish you'd done a million other things. Now, I happen to be in the same category with you that I've had the greatest life I could have. I mean, I don't regret. I mean, of course, I've made mistakes along the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still, you know, I don't look back and say, oh, I absolutely positively regret doing this, and I should have never done this, and this was the worst thing I've ever done, and I wish I could live my whole life over again.
See, I wish that anyway, though. Wait, I'll look at it the other way, too. If you look back and you say it's been great, why the hell would you accept it? I want more. Give me another round. I wouldn't say, you know?
You do get another round after 300 years.
Okay, well.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just what I heard.
I don't either. But you know what the problem is? If you come back, you don't even know you were there. So
you don't necessarily know that.
I had like five stories I published. I was going to do a book, and I may still do it. It's called Past Lives, and it's a story of all the lives I had. Little pieces of where I was at any given time when I had all these lives. And of course, in each one, you don't know about the one before. If you know, otherwise, you'd know now. I mean, I know I used to be a short order cook. And you know what I hate about this? I said this a couple of shows ago, maybe many other shows. I get all my shows mixed up. When I did a radio show in San Diego and I talked to this guy who claimed he was Napoleon in a past life. And he had a book. He wrote a book. It was like 3,000 pages. And I said to him, I said, let me ask you something. How come everybody who says they come back, says they were someone famous? Who were the slaves who built the, who wasn't anybody a slave who died, and wasn't anybody a nobody? Why do people always come back? Because, you know, I was, you know, lady, because I was Marie Antoinette, you know. I was, the guy was Napoleon. I was this. Yeah, you know what? I don't know what you are, but I know what you are right now, and that's full of it. So, you know, I don't know what the heck how do you know? Yeah, even if it's true. That's stupid. And there's another thing that bothers me. Shouldn't we know? Why don't we know? If this is going to be important in how we learn our next life, you know, in the Wheel of Karma, if you read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and I love this, because when I read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, I went, wow, there's this karmic wheel, you know, they call it. And you have to go through each one of these particular stages.
Is it the karma book?
You have to go through these. Yes, it is. You got to go through these particular. You got to go through these particular stages until you get to nirvana. Okay, and that's your goal. That's your goal, is to get to this particular point. God, you know what? What's nirvana? I don't know. It's this wave of consciousness where you're a member of the entire force of life that goes through the universe.
Oneness with the universe.
You can't. Yeah, which, you know, how do you expect to even imagine what that's like to experience? You can't. And I'm looking at that and I'm going like, well, wait a second. If you go from one life to the next and you do that so that you could better yourself, because you want to reach, by the time you get to nirvana, you want to be worthy, you see.
Right. So
how do you do that if you don't know? How do you do that if you don't know where did I come from that I was bad? What do I have to do?
You would know.
No, you don't know. What do you mean? You know at a level that you don't know? I'm tired of all this not knowing. It's stupid. You know, I told that to a Monsignor. I did. The Catholic Church. I said to him, I said, I'm tired of all this not knowing. I mean, they keep playing the faith. They keep playing the faith card on me. And I'm going
and not knowing is the precursor of faith.
No. Faith is, you know, I don't, that's not the, they teach it all wrong in Western community.
No. You can't have faith unless there's doubt.
Faith, I don't want to get into that, but the point is they go, look, you just have to believe. You have to believe, you know. And I told them, well, you know, I have to believe. I have to believe what? Why do I have to? Why can't we be told? Why can't we see it?
We were told. Didn't you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, I know. That's the other reason. It's like, great, okay, half of this book, God's a big voice, and he comes down and he says, do this, do that, and he has fun with people like they're little toys. And then suddenly he's gone. And he don't want to talk to anybody anymore. I'm not telling you guys anything anymore. Here, take this guy. He's my son. And he goes down there and he goes, just have faith. I mean, he'll be fine. I'll show you. What are you going to show me? You're going to show me how great? Oh, it's great. Hey, can we all die like that? Can I put nails through my thing too? You know, it's like, come on, this is absurd. Give me some stuff. Give me something to hold on to here. We're human beings. We deserve more. And if there is a God and we're his children, he's not being very nice to us. We need to know.
Look, can I just ask you a personal question?
Anything.
Can you do any really, really good impressions?
Hey, did you ever see Popoff? What's it, Peter Popoff? He's an evangelist. I talk about him a lot.
I thought that was from the Macho Man Randy Savage's brother.
No. Peter Popoff sells his miracle water, and he on TV doesn't. It's great. He's great, man. He's this little He's this really seedy looking guy, you know, and he gets people to believe that if they take the miracle water and they spray it on their bank book, that their debts will go and they'll be fine. Because if you do that, where does he get the miracle water? You know, they don't want to answer the question. Where do you get this miracle water? Why can't I just go get my own miracle water? Why isn't there a miracle water creek we could all go to? Like at Lourdes. When you go to Lourdes, right, people went to Lourdes because they felt that was the healing water. correct?
Right.
Yeah. What happened to them? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you have this faith, and other people are telling you.
I have some of that water from, there is a place.
The miracle water?
Well, this is close.
Peter Popoff water?
No,
Peter
this Popoff. Is, I'm trying to think. You know where,
what?
You know where St. Mary's seminary is in Emmitsburg?
No.
They have a spring up there.
Did you find Peter Popoff?
Well, people come with all these, like, you know, 50 of these milk jugs, and they fill their, this water just comes out of the ground.
At St. Mary's?
Yeah.
And what happens, what do you do?
And you, well, it's supposed to be like holy water. And so, you know, if you sprinkle it, you know, if you hurt your back, you pour it on your back, you can drink it, you can, you know, and there are many, many, many claims that it's worked.
Yeah, many, many claims that it works. Nobody can claim anything. Not a lot of people can claim. I mean, well, you could claim. Yeah, there's many claims. So what is a claim?
Serious. Yeah. Listen, you know me. I'm more scientific than I am, you know, spiritual.
Yeah.
But I have let's just say I have a personal experience with it where it worked.
And you know me.
I'm not Mr. You know, Monsignor. Right?
Yeah, what are you talking? Yeah, what? And what are you saying? I've had experiences too that can't be explained, but I want them explained.
Can you do a
Son of the Young Church is brought to you by GoDaddy.com.
It's Peter Popoff. Listen.
I got money to spare. Give the Lord a clap offering for that.
Woo! Popoff claims he's delivered miracles to hundreds of thousands of people.
Listen.
Supernaturally. So Popoff sends his followers mail, as you can see here, tons of mail, including small vials of miracle spring water and debt cancellation kits. He then asks his viewers to send small donations, and in return, he promises, as a messenger of God, to unlock the secrets of financial security and wipe out all debt.
Now, you heard that.
Right.
Okay, so what's the difference between that guy, who's the fraud, and somebody else who tells you that if you pray, you'll be fine? What's the difference between fraud and what you believe not to be fraud?
Let me ask you a question.
Good.
Can you do...
Can I do an impression of him?
I don't know who this person is, but they texted me.
Uh-huh.
And they said to ask you if you can do your Amos and Andy impression or your Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Hey, Bullwinkle!
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
What again?
Presto!
Okay, so that's like what I and there you are. Thank you very much for texting and being part of our show. And you know, your wish is my command. But you see what I'm talking about? Hey, the whole world would be better off if we could get the moose and squirrel. Okay, good. You don't even get it. You didn't even get it. You're too young for that.
Right. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So what? Right. Now what?
Okay.
So this guy, Eric Erickson, has told us that we look back and we're either happy we were active or we're unhappy. And all I said was, I may still be unhappy, even though I was so active and did everything, because there's so much more I want to do. Now, there must be people who just don't want to do a lot of things, I guess. Maybe. Is that it?
No. Well, there are just people who just waste their life.
Yeah, but isn't that subjective? It's subjective.
No. You and I could rate people on a scale of 1 to 10. And we could sit down and interview them. And when we're done interviewing him, I say, okay, what rating would you give him? He's like, I give him a 4. Yeah, he hasn't done too much. He,
I know.
Like, he's wasted a lot of time.
You're right. I know what you're talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
So, same thing. So there are just some people who...
This... This is how my mind works. Okay, now we could sit down and rate people. And what?
We could determine mm-hmm. whether they've lived a life of integrity or one of despair.
Okay, let's take a couple of people.
All right.
I mean, we don't have to name names of people we know. We could name, or you know, people who are dead or what have you. I think my father lived a life of despair. Okay, how about that?
Yeah.
Because I think he wanted to do way, way much more than he did, and I think that, you know, he listened too much to his what he had to do because of the time where you listened to your father or whatever, blah, blah. I think my father died unsatisfied. I think he died. He could have done many, many more things. And if only he'd have done it. And then, you know, he got late in life where he said, like, why didn't I just do it? Why did I listen to him or why did I listen to them, right? And that's what I'm talking about when it comes down to people who keep putting things off because they think they're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so there's one person. Now, now what about someone who did something? Do you know anybody personally who did worthless?
Not offhand.
Wow. You got a lot of integrity-filled friends, don't you? You don't know anybody who did any... Excuse me. Well, pardon me all over the place. You don't know anybody at all. But you send a good message, though, because you tell your children in your... and I say children because they're, you know, students and what have you. When I was in school, I didn't have teachers like you or like many of the people who I do... who do this show with me or what have you, from our consciousness. Because back then, I don't know, I didn't have any of those teachers. All of the clergy, okay, and I'm saying this without any reserve, they're all scumbags, all of the clergy, most of the teachers, and I'm using this word because it's a very powerful word. Ready for this one? Scumbags, okay? A lot of the teachers in school, high school, New York, and scumbags. In the true sense of that word, they were all said, here's what you do, here's how you live your life, here's what you got to do, and if you don't, then you're just going to die and fall down and you're worthless. That's no good. You're telling people, we needed teachers like you, and then hopefully there are a lot more out there. There's a lot less scumbags out there than there used to be, because boy, was it filled with scumbags. Do you agree? Or did you have incredibly inspirational teachers and people who taught you things that you take with you now?
No, I didn't.
So you agree with me?
And I agree with a lot of what you say.
Mm-hmm. So your students are very fortunate, and a lot of people are very fortunate today, because they don't have to get out from under the cloak of despair that is put upon you by
guilt.
These people.
Guilt.
Yeah, guilt, right, which is what? Guilt is the feeling that you did something wrong, isn't it? Psychologically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you feel guilty because
Let me ask you this.
Go.
You know your buddy Dave?
Yes.
Do you know him?
Sure.
He just texted me, said you could do Amos and Andy. First of all, I don't know how he has my number.
Well, I wrote your
number. It looks an awful lot like your number.
I wrote your number on the truck stop in the bathroom over here on Route 22.
Yeah.
Because I know that the more destitute the person, the more they need to hear from you.
Yeah, this looks like your number, though.
How could it be my number? I don't have a number. I have my, you know, what, texting? No, you don't even know my text number, and I'm not giving it out over the air.
No, but I know
I
what
did
it
once,
is.
And nobody called anyways.
What?
I did that. You know, I did that once. I did that, and nobody. I just to prove how people were afraid of things over the internet. That,
yeah.
And people were afraid of everything. Oh, they're going to steal my name. Steal, you know, this identity thief, all this stuff. They're going to steal my name. They're going to steal my thing. I can't write anything. They're going to steal my words. They're going to steal my voice. They're going to steal. Nobody steals anything. Nobody freaking cares. You know, you should be proud if somebody steals something that's yours.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
What? What happened?
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, go.
Some guy, not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
he put his number on four posts in Times Square, four light posts or whatever.
Yeah.
And all it said was, call me if you're lonely. I'm a nice guy. Something like to that effect.
You mean on billboards?
No.
Posts?
No. He put them on a piece of paper mm-hmm. and he taped them.
Okay.
To four light posts.
In New York City?
Yeah, in New York City.
Okay.
In Times Square.
Okay.
And in, I think it was, I'm going to just say, you know, in the course of a week or something, or a weekend, 300,000 people called the number.
Okay, that's an extraordinary situation, though, because A, it's New York City. I mean,
yeah,
let's
I understand that, but I'm still, you know, but it,
if you did that in Manhattan, Kansas, you'd be lucky if you got one call, and that person's probably drunk. Yeah. There is a Manhattan, Kansas.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a Manhattan, Kansas. You do it in Manhattan, New York, that's what happens. You do it in Manhattan, Kansas, you'd be lucky if anybody even sees it. See, so that's an extraordinary situation. And you know what? 300,000? What? You know, that's a very small percentage.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying. It was in a very small amount of time.
So,
you know what I mean?
So what was the point of bringing this up?
Because
I said nobody cares?
You said you put my name out on the Route 22.
Yeah, nobody called.
And nobody called me.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, you listen, you're very angry tonight. And
you think this is anger?
No. I know it's not anger.
Of course you do. You know it's not. Yeah.
Right. I'm just teasing. You know that.
I know, because we're both on stage here tonight. Although you do talk to me very strangely when we're on the phone. And you leave weird messages that anybody else would think you were just out of your mind. I tell somebody, you know that? You know, this guy is like, he teaches behavioral science. And they go, what? And that's the message he leaves? I said, yeah, but he's leaving it to me. I'm like, you know, he doesn't do that to regular. He's a sane person. He knows how to deal with people. And so, but to me, that's how he deals. That's how he deals with me, and I understand it. See, but anybody else hears it, and that's all they hear, and they establish
right.
in their head.
They judge me.
Yeah, they establish in their head, oh, look, this guy must be whacked. Isn't it amazing, too? Here's another thing that really pees me.
How about Amos and Andy? Is that how they sound?
This pees me off, too. That is how people make decisions based on, forget about critical thinking. People don't even go through the motions. They say, oh, well, that's it for you. Oh, yeah, you're not going to do that for me? That's it for you. Oh, yeah, you do that? Well, you're one of those. That is unbelievable. People are so quick to do things like that. They don't look at the any extenuating circumstances. Maybe what I'm talking about is a sense of compassion. I don't know. But I really, you know, I may give people too many chances, and I do. I give people thousands of chances, you know, before I do. That's just what I do. Because I don't ever feel I've got this thing narrowed down. This is why I'm not a lawyer. Because if I defended somebody, there's a billion reasons why he's not guilty, you know? And if I was a prosecutor, forget it. I'd be going, but then again, maybe the knife was, you know, that's a possibility. You know, there's so many possibilities inside of a 100% pie. Isn't that true?
What?
Are you still there?
Yeah, I lost you on the pie.
Well, I'm just saying that if you look at 100%, if you look at anything, here's 100% of what I should know about this person. Oh, my God, how many pieces are there before you can make? You'll never know 100% about anyone, but even if you get to 80%, you'd be lucky. And if you get to 80%, you're going to find there's a lot of things different about that. There's a lot of things, a lot of reasons you shouldn't label the person this or say the person is that or this or that or the other thing. Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, but people do all the time.
Oh, you're one of those.
I used to hear that one. Hey, when I was a kid, when I was in my teenagers, and when I was in my teens, and I had long hair, and I'm walking down a street, and a guy got out of, stepped out of like a UPS truck or something like that, and he went, "You're dead, hippie," and he put his hand up, and for all I know, he had a gun, you know.
Right.
But he didn't. I mean, he just made, but it really frightened me because I realized, oh my God, this guy might be a guy who just wants to kill all, and he doesn't know nothing about me. But because I have long hair and I'm walking, I look like this, I'm obviously one of those people he has decided to throw all of his hate at that type. What a jerk. People do that all the time. They shoot fake guns at people all the time. I hate it. Am I angry again?
Well, listen, have you ever read the book The Scarlet Letter?
Yes. Yes.
You know what letter it is, right?
Yes.
What letter is it?
A.
Right. And then
A for adultery, yeah.
Right. A for adultery. And then you have Amos and Andy.
The amazing.
And then you have anger. And I mean you're
Flibber to Gibbet. Unbound.
Right, you're in the A category.
Everyone knows. I don't even have to say you're listening to Tolo Chronicles, because anybody who's heard the show before knows that's what they're listening to at the moment, because they hear the dynamics and they hear the rhythm of my talking, and they hear you because they've heard you here before. You're on at least once a month, and you know I get a lot of Dr. Waldar, who is arguably one of the smartest men in the world. And he's on our show. He's going to be on our show next week. This guy knows about, what is this? This guy knows about, today, tell the doctor to do his choppers imitation.
Choppers!
Do that again? What is that?
Oh, choppers!
What is that?
Remember that little bird that was in the cage?
That sounds like you're trying to do Donald Duck.
No, and the bird used to sit in the cage.
What cage?
And when the cat, Fester, or whatever his name.
Sylvester?
Sylvester.
Tweety Pie? You're trying to do Tweety Pie?
Yeah, it was like, oh, I'm Flappers.
That's not Tweety Pie.
Who was it?
Tweety Pie didn't sound like that. Choppers? I don't know what you're talking about with choppers.
Choppers. Choppers was the name of the bulldog.
There was no. Oh, there was a bulldog. Oh wow!
See, you're not.
No, we're Better Breakfast Begin.
The most delicious ready-to-eat cereals in the world.
The most delicious ready-to-eat cereals in the world. Now that's a good imitation.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. Here's what I'm going to say.
You should say it quickly because we're like six minutes away from the theme.
My class was listening because I told him how witty you were and how entertaining you were.
Did I disappoint?
How smart you were.
And I disappointed everyone.
No. And, and I told them that they'd get extra credit if they listened. So if they can tell me in an email the word flibber to give it, then I'm going to give them extra credit.
Because then they'll know. That's right.
They'll know that they listen to this show.
Let me remind everyone that if you go to Frank Cotolo, if you go to Facebook, Frank Cotolo, you can download the show within the half hour that we are done live. Also, so you could do that. You could go there and download it and have it yourself. And you can listen to it on any number of other stations. You know, I'm on twice a day at True Talk Radio up in Montreal. And Shalom Radio and all the great, wonderful broadcasters up there in Quebec. And this show is rebroadcast at many number of times on many other stations. So if you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, I'm saying this because there might be the people who are listening could say, oh, you didn't hear it? Well, go download it and go get it somewhere else. And you can hear it and they'll still be able to hear you.
Okay.
On Flibber to Gibbet.
Right.
But that's the key word. That's like that, say the secret word. What's the secret word tonight? Right. Flibber to Gibbet.
Right. That's it. Did you by any chance know or had you ever met Groucho Marx?
I did not. No. Did not. No. No. Right.
I never came close to that. You know, he lived in New York for a long time while I was in L.A., and then he died in New York.
Yeah.
I think. I don't think
any of the Marx Brothers?
No, I didn't know any of them.
Because I know you used to do a lot of comedy writing and stuff like that.
No, they were all pretty much retired and done or what have you by then. I didn't by my time. I knew I met a lot of old-timers and stuff, but no, not them at all. No.
How about one of the greatest comedians of all time?
Did I? Did you?
Sam Kinison.
I met Bob Hope.
Did you?
Yeah. He was definitely.
How about Sam Kinison?
I never met Sam Kinison, but I wouldn't consider him one of the greatest comics of all time. It was groundbreaking, but you know, anybody.
Yeah, he was funny though.
But yeah, plenty.
He was
of,
funny.
Plenty of others. Dr. Gary Popoli comes to us courtesy of the Aberdeen Systematic Military Establishment in Maryland, and of course Stevenson University. The University of Stevenson, where everybody learns about Stevenson. And, of course, he is the purveyor of the estate of Eric Erickson. the purveyor. Listen to that. I just grabbed the word out of nowhere. There's no such thing as a purveyor of an estate. But
were you ever in a movie?
Who?
You.
Was I ever in a movie? I was in a couple of movies.
You were?
Yeah. But what? But that. What? We don't need to talk about me here now, Doctor Popoli.
Did you ever play Chico Marx?
Yes, I did once
in a movie.
Yes, I did. Oh God. Yes, I did, and I did once. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Go to YouTube and look for some.
Did you have that funny looking funnel hat?
No, I didn't. I wore one of the other. He wore other hats too. I didn't wear the funnel hat. I wore another hat.
Okay.
Doctor Popoli comes to us, and he will be with us again because he's a good guy, and we want him on here. And a lot of people listen and love to hear you. Thank you for being here. And I'm sorry if I took any of your time away. But let's face it. Let's face it. You really had some poor stuff.
Thanks.
No, you were great, and
all right, buddy.
And I appreciate it, and we shall talk. Thank you very much.
Anytime,
and
we'll be in touch.
Figure out how to turn this off here. Okay, good night, Dr. Popoli.
Okay, see you, Frank.
Bye. Dr. Gary Popoli has a website, and I don't know what good it would do you, but you can go get it, look at it. If you go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com, you can find it. There's a link to it, and you can just wait until he comes up. I forgot to ask him his email address, but he always gives it out. You can get to him there. So if you want to ask a psychological question or something about anything, then go get him there, and he'll talk to you, write to you, and tell him you heard him here on Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man's name is doing the title of the show. And next week, Dr. Woldar will be here. We just doctors, and more doctors. Dr. Woldar, though. Dr. Woldar's. This is a whole other thing. So don't think just because we got Dr. Karen Wyatt, doctor. A lot of doctors on this show. That's because I meet a lot of doctors. That's why. You can go listen to that on the 18th. Dr. Woldar will be here. And there's any number of fascinating things. And then on April 25th, another Cotolo Savino Chronicles. That's right. My former partner will be here, and we'll be talking about any number of things. And if you'd like to tell me something you'd like us to talk about and have fun with, any particular topic, please get us at – please call me. Message me, fcotolo@yahoo.com, and write to me there as all you do and what have you, and we could find out what exactly –
that's Cotolo over there. You know what I mean?
And I'll write back to you and tell you things, and we'll see. And I'll take your advice. If you got advice on something, advice on what we should talk about, maybe someone you'd like to hear on the show, hear me talk to. I am your Flibbert Gibbet. My name is Frank Cotolo, the Flibbert Gibbet, whose name adorns the title of this show. Once again, it's time for me, the Bard of Broadcasting, to put it all to bed for now. You can listen to this again and again and again and everything else. Do whatever you want to do. I am not here to tell you what to do. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you are. I gesticulate. You said a lot of things. But as for now, I'm leaving you. The I have nothing more to say.